ఇడా ఉద్దవా టు డూ హియరింగ్ చాంటింగ్ ఎక్సెట్రా ఆల్దో ఆల్రెడీ హీ టుక్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ టెలింగ్ సి ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ ఆల్సో గాట్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ వాట్ ఈ సెడ్ భక్తిముహు ప్రవహతాం త్వయి మే ప్రసంగో భూయాదనంత మహతాం అమలాశయాణం ఈ సేసిన యాక్చువల్లీ సీమ్స్ దట్ దిస్ డివోటీ ఈస్ నాట్ అవేర్ వాట్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ద ఆస్పిరేషన్ ఆఫ్ అ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ జస్ట్ వాంట్ టు సీ ద లార్డ్ ఐ టు ఐ దట్స్ ఆల్ అవి దేఖలే భగవాన్ కో హోగే అవి బస్ నవి ఆరామ్ కరుంగా జాకర్ బికాస్ వీ డోంట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ బెటర్ దాన్ రెస్ట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ యూ గెట్ సమ్ ఫ్రీ టైమ్ వాట్ పీపుల్ వాంట్ టు డూ స్లీప్ యూ సీ దేర్ ఫోర్ ఈజ్ ఆస్కింగ్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ బికాస్ ఫార్ ద ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ రెస్ట్ మీన్స్ హియరింగ్ అండ్ చాంటింగ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రెస్ట్ ఫర్ అ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ ఆల్వేస్ ఎయిదర్ యూ వాంట్ హియర్ ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఆర్ యూ వాంట్ స్పీక్ ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ దట్ ఈస్ రెస్ట్ ఫర్ అ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ వాట్ ఎవర్ రెస్ట్ ద కండిషన్ సోల్ గెట్స్ బై స్లీపింగ్ సేమ్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ రెస్ట్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ గెట్స్ బై హియరింగ్ అండ్ చాంటింగ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆస్పిరేషన్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీ క్యాన్ బి So we were in which, what is it, 9 is it? 5th, 3 point, so come to 3.4.9, read the translation.
At that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord.
I read the purport.
Maitreya was one of the disciples of Maharishi Parashar, the father of Vyasadeva. Thus, Vyasadeva and Maitreya were friends and mutual well-wishers. By some fortunate accident, Maitreya reached the place where Lord Sri Krishna was resting. To meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar-philosopher, but not a pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore, his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to Ajnata Sukriti or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional activities, and therefore their meeting with the Lord is natural. But when those who are not up to that standard meet the Lord, it is due to the unforeseen fortune of accidental devotional service.
See, there are two characters here, Uddhava and Maitreya. Maitreya is practicing pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti. And Maitreya is actually Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So Lord did not invite Maitreya, but Maitreya was passing by. And then he happened to see the Lord along with Uddhava. So he also came and asked, can I also join the conversation? Can I also come? And Lord allowed him to be there also. But here it is mentioned that Maitreya arriving at the scene was accidental. It was actually not planned. And then Prabhupada explains, about the unforeseen good fortune achieved by accidental devotional service. Like our, there was one boy called Bruce, you know. So he had gotten a book of Srila Prabhupada, which he read and he got very inspired. So he came to the temple to meet Prabhupada. But by the time Prabhupada was already leaving on that day. So Prabhupada was sitting in a car and the car was proceeding. And behind Prabhupada's car, there was another car loaded with devotees, full of devotees. So when Bruce came, he came to know Swamiji's car just now went. But Prabhupada was going for a program on the way and then to proceed to the airport after that. So then he ran behind this car and begged the opportunity. Can I be allowed in? Can I also go for the program for Swamiji? Of course, that car was only filled with all 1600 devotees and serious devotees, temple inmates. And this Bruce was a boy, outsider boy visiting the temple. Somehow or other, one devotee allowed him into the car although the space was very less. Sometimes you have a person sit on your lap, you know. Like that, they dragged him in, they closed the door, and then when he reached the program, attended Prabhupada's program, he was even more thrilled. That was the first time he heard from Prabhupada, one-to-one, personally. And he became very joyful, satisfied, and he decided to dedicate his life to the temple. And he also wanted to bring his brother also. And he and his brother became Brahmananda Swami and Gargarishi Prabhu. Bruce became Brahmananda Swami. So, in this way you will find there are some devotees who, you know, who got some unforeseen good fortune by some accidental devotion service. He's using the word accidental, he says. What is that accidental? In the previous life, one must have done some Ajnat Sukriti. That Ajnat Sukriti brings forth a very nice, favorable situation, which one can take advantage. Like Nriga Raja also, he became a lizard. Although he became a lizard, why he became a lizard? Because of, you know, displeasing two Brahmanas. Correct, no? Both Brahmanas wanted the same cow. So he displeased both of them. So, displeasure of the Brahmanas earned, made him get the body of a lizard. But then, although he was a lizard in the well, the Yadu children, they went and saw there's a big lizard in the well. They tried to pull it out and they couldn't. So when they went and told Ugrasena, when they told to Krishna, then Krishna came and Krishna arranged for the lizard to be taken out, and then the lizard turned into king by Krishna's touch. Correct, no? There Prabhupada writes, if you see, Prabhupada says that Nriga Maharaj had given a donation for some temple construction for a Vaishnava. Some Vaishnava was making a temple and he gave a donation. So because of that one Sukriti was there in his account. Then because of that, he got the touch of Krishna's body and he got liberated. And then he got his form again. So some Ajnana Sukriti account is, therefore we should keep performing Bhakti Sukritis regularly, wherever possible. Drinking Charanamrit, smelling the flower offered to Lord, smelling the scent offered to Lord, bowing down to Lord, eating prasad, doing pradakshina. Every day, three rounds you go for pradakshina, isn't it? If somebody may be lazy, why to go such a long distance? Some people run in between only. From here to here, there to here. From a distance only, the offer obeisance to Prabhupada, isn't it? Actually, it may be a little laborious, but if you do this, your Sukriti account is increasing. Correct? No, you may not know when it will come to help. Shastra says, if you do pradakshina of Lord Govinda repeatedly, you will not do pradakshina of the cycle of birth and death. If you enter the temple with great samutkantha, you know, with great eagerness, then you will not enter into the womb of another mother. You don't have to take birth again. Like that, many vachan promises are given in the scriptures. So, one who has performed some Ajnana Sukriti may suddenly be given up. See, the Ajnana Sukriti is again put one in a situation where they get opportunity for devotion service. Like Maitreya here, is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Although he was a philosopher scholar, in his heart there was also some devotion also. Therefore we call him Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Otherwise we will call him Jnani only. Some bhakti is also there, but the bhakti is not fully pure. It has some tinge of Jnana also. What is it? Actually Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, they want to study the bhakti very scientifically. Even while, and also they have a speculative tendency also. They have a tendency for speculating about the absolute truth. So, there is Bhakti Mishra Jnan and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Both are explained by Lord Kapila. In the third canto it will come. So, Bhakti Mishra Jnan means 90% Jnani, but little bit of Bhakti. Like Ramdas Vishwas. He is an impersonalist only. But he has a little bit of bhakti in the association of people like Raghunath Bhatta and all. Like that. But there are Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. That means they are 90% Bhaktas. And maybe 5-10% Jnana mix is there. How do you know Jnana mix is there? You will see that they don't have that innocent bhakti like the Vrijabhasis. They have more emphasis on intellectually explaining the philosophy and knowledge, without a spontaneous attraction for the Lord. The emphasis is more on jnana. Similarly, you will see karma mishra bhaktas like Indra, they have a tendency for proprietorship. They want to be devotees, but they also want to have proprietorship. For example, Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, what are the names? Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhana Majumdar. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something about them, which you all know. What he said. So they are also like karma mishra bhaktas. They had proprietorship mentality. They were jamindars. You know, they would wear kurtas with golden buttons. And they may be some kind of Vaishnava devotees. They accept Vishnu. They accept Vishnu as the supreme, you know. And they do some puja, some yajna on and off. They may visit the temple along with the family occasionally. But Krishna consciousness is not their top priority. Krishna consciousness is a side business for them. So they were more attached to owning lands, collecting taxes, and being jamindars. Their heart was naturally in a Vaishya family, heart was in making money. At the same time, do some welfare for others also. Welfare for the poor, do some worship of the Lord also. But Lord may not be top priority for them. Like Indra, he has his heavenly post and activities of enjoyment. Along with it, he worships Vishnu also. These are called karma mishra. Similarly, yoga mishra means they will have controlling tendency. You will see Vishwamitra wants to prove that I have such a tapavalam, I will create a Trishanku Swarga and give people, I can create a planet at will. And also he wanted to, so the yogis try to acquire siddhis. Why? Because they want to control the nature. They want to use the siddhis to walk on water, fly on sky and things like that. So the controlling tendency again is the nature of a conditioned soul. One should completely agree to be controlled by Krishna. That is pure devotees. Pure devotees put themselves in Krishna's custody, like a child in the custody of the parents. Whereas yogis keep control. Therefore, yoga mishra bhakta means what? Paying too much attention to yogic postures, pranayam, having too much talks about controlling the mind, fixing the intelligence, without talking sufficiently about depending on Krishna and depending on Krishna's grace. So this kind of too much talk about controlling, that is what? What tendency? That is yoga mishra. So people like Muchukunda, Muchukunda performs also, Lord told him, he performs Ashtanga Yoga, along with that he performs Bhakti. If you take Dhruva Maharaj, he also performs Ashtanga Yoga along with Bhakti. Why? People who are extremely ambitious, extremely having a controlling tendency, they have to do pranayam, asana, pratyahara, first to cool down. Cool down their ambition first, over ambition. And then dharana, dhyana, samadhi can be obtained. So the controlling tendency is very deep rooted. So therefore, sometimes in Sri Vaishnavas also you find some of the Sri Vaishnavas. When we went to Yatra, we went to one gufa where one Sri Vaishnava lived there and performed penance for hundreds of years there. He had gone. So he was Ashtanga Yogi and Vaishnava also. Like Dhruva Maharaj also is a Vaishnava, but he is Ashtanga Yogi Vaishnava. Therefore Narada Muni had prescribed him the Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, all those things. But if a devotee has a very simple heart, and he can very easily have a sweet surrender to the Lord, he depends on the Lord, then he doesn't have to go through all this. He can, that is Shuddha Bhakti, one can practice directly. So, karma mishra means proprietorship. I want to have proprietor of this world, have property in my name. At the same time, I want to do bhakti. And yoga mishra means I want to have control over nature, control over jivas, and I want to do bhakti also. Similarly, jnana mishra means intellectual orientation of understanding of God. They are more having an intellectual, theoretical conception of God than, for example, if somebody is asked what is gulab jamun, you say gulab jamun is a spherical ball, it is brownish in color, the porosity is this much, you may describe, and it is floating in a liquid of viscosity this much. That is a theoretical description. So therefore the gopis rejected Uddhava, and Uddhava told them to do meditation. So the gopis were telling, you are teaching us Sankhya by which we can meditate on the Lord. But we try to sit and meditate in our heart to remove Krishna from our heart, but we couldn't remove. You are telling us how to meditate on Him. Why should we meditate on Him in His absence? You should come personally. We don't want to meditate on Him in our mind. But we try to meditate and remove Him from our mind, we couldn't remove. So Narada came and later on told them, see, anyone who has worshipped Krishna with a melted heart, Dhruta Chitta we call it, such a person will never be able to remove Krishna from his heart. He said, Narada Muni told them. The reason, the more you try to remove, the more you will get drowned in his remembrance. Like that he told. So Uddhava is an intellectual devotee. When he came to Vrindavan, Krishna had given him one small chit. And the chit contained only one line. It said, my dear gopis, Krishna had given the message, my dear gopis, since I am all pervading, how can you and me be separated at any time? That's all. Now Uddhava wanted to explain how the Lord is all pervading. You know, how every jiva has Lord in the heart as Antaryami and all that. And the gopis are not at all happy with all these purports. After that, Uddhava understood they can only be satisfied by narrating Krishna's pastimes. So he narrated Krishna's pastimes after that. 3 months or so, he stayed and he narrated. And that was the time when gopis completely demonstrated the pastimes of Krishna in great bhava. After seeing which, Uddhava's heart melted and he was in tears. Actually, in that shloka, Asamaho charanarenu jushamaham syam vrindavane kimapi gulmalatao shadinam yadustyajam charanapatamarya patam chahitva bejuh mukunda padavim shutibir vimrgyam. He's telling, the second line is telling, vrindavane kimapi gulmalata aushadinam. He's saying, oh gopis, let me become a grass. First he said, let me become a tree in Vrindavan. Later he said, if I am a tree, how will I get grace? Then he said, let me become a creeper in Vrindavan. Then he said, let me become a grass in Vrindavan. Because if I am a grass, then the gopis may walk over my grass, walk over my body. Like that he offered a prayer like that. Because Uddhava realized that I am not, my bhakti for Krishna is not very ripe. It is very, very kacha bhakti, like kacha mango. Because the knowledge of Upanishad's description of Krishna is very superficial. It is not like a bhakta's heart, golden heart of a devotee. So therefore Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to see the Shuddha bhakti in the heart of the gopis. And Ananda Baba and Yashoda also, like that. And that really had a positive effect on Uddhava's heart. So, in this way, but now we are seeing that Uddhava is not counted amongst Jnana Mishra devotees. Because here you find a comparison is made between Uddhava and Maitreya. Uddhava is counted as a Shuddha Bhakta, whereas Maitreya is called as a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Now, one very important warning point I want to make here. As soon as you hear about Maitreya as a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, immediately in our mind we put him down. Oh, Maitreya. Like that we see. Yeah. That is very, very important to avoid such consciousness. Because as soon as devotees know this, they will ask, really? Then why did Vidura go to Maitreya? He's a Jnana Mishra fellow. He could have better told Uddhava, you only tell me everything. He's a useless fellow. See, our mind unfortunately works like 0 and 1. And nothing in between. Either you are 1 or you are 0, nothing in between, like binary numbers. So, therefore Prabhupada explains that Maitreya, in the next verse Prabhupada will explain more about Maitreya, how by associating with Lord and associating with Uddhava in that particular setting, Maitreya's jnana tinge became cleansed. He became purified. And therefore, when Vidura met Maitreya, Maitreya was fit to deliver the spiritual goods, especially about devotional service. He was qualified to deliver, like the Prabhupada writes. So one should not label somebody as a Jnanamishara Bhakta and label him as good for nothing. It's very important. So here the point is about unforeseen fortune by accidental devotional service. So, like sometimes a devotee wants flower in the market when he goes to buy flowers for the deities. And then he's asking the flower shop, can you please come and deliver it in the temple? Is it possible? Every day we will pay you. Monthly once we will pay you, you come and deliver it. So some people come and deliver it in the temple. Even sabjis they used to deliver in those days. But later we found some of them cheat also. They give less quantity of flower, less quantity of sabji, and they take more money. Because they know month end we will get the money. So once we caught one such fellow, we found that he gives almost only half the amount of sabji. And he takes paisa for the full amount. So these people, by cheating the Lord and the devotees, they prepare way to hell. Correct, no? But on the other hand, there are people who come to deliver flower to the temple or sabji to temple. But then they just first come and deliver flower and go away. And then another time when they hear the ringing of the bell, then they are inspired, oh, let me go and take darshan. Then they come, deliver flower, take darshan and go. Then when they keep taking darshan, they develop some love for the Lord, affection for the Lord. Then they give flower in a cheaper price, some concession, and the balance amount goes to Lord's service. In this way, their Ajna Sukriti starts. Correct, no? And some devotee may look at them and call them and say, take one mala, please learn to chant Hare Krishna. Suddenly you will find them wearing tilak, kanti mala, becoming initiated devotees. And they may even start giving free flowers for the temple. There are people like that who do. In this way, what begins as a small Ajnata Sukriti can ripen into very great devotional service. It's possible. So here he's talking about accidental devotional service. Like Prabhupada was sitting in one hall with many benches and chairs and everything. Prabhupada went to the front row and sat. And when he was sitting alone and doing japa, in that corner of this bench, Prabhupada saw one boy was sitting. And Prabhupada called him and he came and sat next. Prabhupada asked him, are you a Hindu? He asked him. He said, no, Swami, I am a Muslim. He said. And then Prabhupada said, oh, really? And I am from India. In India, we have many mosques where they sing Allahu Allah. So Prabhupada told him something about Islam, then talked to him. And then when the auditorium was full, then Prabhupada told him, see, now I have to go to the stage and give a lecture now. Can you please take care of this box? Prabhupada asked him to take care of the box of books. That was the time the boy came to know that he is the speaker of the in the program. And he was very happy that I could strike a conversation with him. And then Prabhupada went and spoke the whole lecture. It was very, very appreciated by all. Everybody clapped hands. And then Prabhupada made an announcement. In the first bench corner, you see, there's a boy with my box. He can provide you my books. You all can put a donation in the small box and take one book from him. And then the boy was shocked. He didn't know how much to take. And Prabhupada said, whatever amount they give, you take it. If they give $10, $5, few cents, take it and give them one book. And the boy started giving out book and taking. So the boy is saying that I didn't know who this Swamiji was. I didn't even know his name. And even though I was not aware of who he was and I didn't know his name, I didn't know his background, I didn't know what these books are, still Swamiji very kindly made me his disciple and made me distribute his books. So Prabhupada was able to connect with anybody like that. Now this boy got Ajnata Sukriti, correct? Because he is helping a Vaishnava unknowingly in distributing books and collecting money and giving it to Prabhupada. So in this way, the Ajna Sukriti eventually will ripen into devotion service. Sometimes we go in the train to some place. On the way, sometimes a devotee calls his mother, father and say, you prepare some prasad and go and deliver it to, the devotees in the train. Of course, mother is a 16-round devotee, but father doesn't chant one round also. But then he will come to the station and to deliver the prasad along with the mustache, beard, everything. But then when he is meeting devotees will not just take prasad and send him away. When they take prasad, they may say some nice thing to him. And what is the first thing devotees will ask generally? Are you chanting? then he will say, no, sorry, I'm not chanting, only my wife is chanting 16 rounds. Okay, she is chanting 16, at least you chant one round. Then they may inspire him to chant. And then in India, sometimes people who are pious are also a little fearful. They will say, Swamiji ne bol diya, karna padega abhi. They start like that one round. And then I used to tell them, next time when you bring prasad for me, you should be chanting 4 rounds. So in this way, every time you increase 4 rounds, every trip you make, then they will increase. So in this way, when he was going to give the prasad, he may not even know what is he doing. He may think, wife has told me, so I am going and giving. Correct, no? So this Ajna Sukriti is accidental devotion service. But that carries unforeseen good fortune. Maitreya was just passing by. Suddenly he happened to see Krishna. It was a very great blessing. So Prabhupada says that it may have been due to some Ajna Sukriti or some unknown devotional service. That is it. Tasya anurattasya muner mukundaha. Pramoda bhavanata kandarasya ashrinvato maam anuragahasa samikshaya vishramayannu vacha.
Maitreya Muni was greatly attached to him, the Lord, and he was listening in a pleasing attitude, with his shoulder lowered, with a smile and a particular glance upon me, having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke as follows.
Yeah. So Uddhava is saying, see, Maitreya Muni was greatly attached to him, and he was listening in a pleasing attitude. It's very surprising, isn't it? Because the Maitreya seems to be showing lot of attachment to Lord and smiling and listening with a very pleasing attitude, with great eagerness and enthusiasm, with his shoulder lowered very humbly. Still all these things are not able to attract the Lord. Because he has a jnana tenja. So the jnana mishra bhakta means he depends too much on his own intelligence for getting liberated. Whereas the bhakta has a tendency to be depend on the Lord. For example, in a home also you will see we have grown-up children and we have smaller children, isn't it? So parents have generally more attention towards whom? Especially the kids, very small ones. Once the boy comes to 8th standard, 10th standard, then he does things on his own mostly. And parents, it doesn't mean parents don't love him. Parents have affection for grown-up children also. But there is an extra affection and attention and care for the smaller ones. So bhaktas are compared to whom? The smaller children. The smaller children are naturally dependent on the parents. They run to parents for every small thing. And the parents also reciprocate with such children. So, but the jnani type devotees means they are flavored by a certain type of consciousness where they are attracted to information more. They are attracted to liberating themselves from through their ability of their intelligence. Similarly, the yogis, by their ability, by abilities and skills, and their they focus too much on that. Therefore, although we all try to sit in a particular posture, asana, while chanting, we can do pranayama, but actually one shouldn't think that these things alone can help us concentrate. To think like that is criticized in Bhagavatam. Lord told Narada boy that mechanical chanting, even if you adopt all the procedure of yama, niyama, pranayama, asana, will not help, because Lord cannot be captured unless he himself decides to give darshan. Like that the Lord says there. So jnana mishra, yoga mishra, karma mishra, all these fellows, they don't touch the Lord's heart. Although Lord may give them some things, what they want. But pure bhakta only can charm the heart. So read the purport. And then he says, with a smile and a particular glance upon me, having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke as follows, he's saying. See, Maitreya is smiling at the Lord with a lowered shoulder, he is hearing, like this he is hearing. But the Lord is not looking at him. Lord is smiling at whom? Uddhava. And also Lord is putting his glance upon Uddhava. Because Uddhava has already done the homework of pure devotion service. He doesn't have to do anything now. Now he is reaping the fruits of his Shuddha Bhakti. Lord is expressing his affection for him. I read the purport.
Although both Uddhava and Maitreya were great souls, the Lord's attention was more on Uddhava because he was a spotlessly pure devotee. A jnana bhakta, or one whose devotion is mixed with the monistic viewpoint, is not a pure devotee. Although Maitreya was a devotee, his devotion was mixed. The Lord reciprocates with his devotees on the basis of transcendental love and not on the basis of philosophical knowledge or fruitive activities. In the transcendental loving service of the Lord, there is no place for monistic knowledge or fruitive activities. The gopis in Vrindavan were neither highly learned scholars nor mystic yogis. They had spontaneous love for the Lord, and thus he became their heart and soul. And the gopis also became the heart and soul of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya approved the relationship of the gopis with the Lord as supreme. Herein the Lord's attitude towards Uddhava was more intimate than with Maitreya Muni.
Yeah. So, if you see the Vrindavan Bhakti, when Uddhava enters Vrindavan, the cows were mooing. That was the first sight he saw. And he saw in the evening time when he entered. And he saw the covered boys, and the covered men. They were all herding the cows and calves. And the Vrindavan was filled with sounds. Like that they do for the cows, no? They were doing, and somebody was saying, "Hey, tie the calf." And somebody was telling, "Hey, release that calf." Somebody was saying, "Hey, milk the cow." Somebody was telling, "Hey, feed fodder to the cow." They were saying. So all the covered men were busy serving the cows and calves in Vrindavan. And he saw the rustic girls, the gopis of Vrindavan were utterly simple in milking the cows, in boiling the milk, in carrying buttermilk from one place to another, in churning the butter. So they were all engaged in household chores, like any other normal family people. The one speciality of Vrindavan was, everybody's minds and hearts were filled with Krishna, and their talks were filled with remembrance and talks of Krishna only. That was one thing he found. So in Vrindavan, nobody exhibits any skills or attractive features like the yogis. Nobody exhibits any skills like walking on water or flying on sky or showing their ability to recite the mantras very powerfully or scholarship. Nobody exhibits such things. They are very simple people. But that simple devotion has attracted the heart of Krishna because their focus is on remembrance of Krishna. If you see like that. That's what, here also you see, Uddhava externally did not make any show of his devotion to Krishna. Correct, no? Krishna is smiling at Uddhava. Whereas Maitreya is having a pleasing attitude and he's lowering his head and doing so many things, and that doesn't please Krishna because Krishna knows that this fellow doesn't have a wholehearted faith in me. His submission is not complete. Who? Maitreya. Whereas Uddhava's submission is complete. Uddhava's internal submission is complete. Therefore, the Lord was looking at Uddhava and smiling at Uddhava. So, because Bhakta, who has faith that my surrender to Krishna alone can only take me back to Godhead, not by my intelligence, not by my powers, that kind of feeling Uddhava had. So in this way, Prabhupada is making a comparison. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. So now the Lord is speaking to both of them. See the theme? The 10th verse theme I have shown. Read the theme.
Lord's greater love for Shuddha Bhaktas over Jnana Bhaktas.
That's what we discuss now. So, there are 81 types of devotion service which come by a permutation combination of this karma, jnana, yoga, all these things because of this. So, those are all counted as mixed devotion. So Rupa Goswami therefore gave the definition of Shuddha Bhakti, Anya Vilashita Shunyam definition. He gave because of that. So 11 and 12 translation somebody can read.
O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult to obtain for others, but I award it unto you.
One more.
O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you.
So in the 11th purport, Prabhupada says in the purport, you see, Uddhava is one of the eternal associates and he is one of the 8 Vasus in the upper planetary system. And then an expansion of Uddhava, acting as one of the Vasus, desired to become an associate of the Lord. So therefore now he has become an associate because of the desire. And next para Prabhupada writes, everyone is at liberty to desire as he likes, but the desire is fulfilled by the Supreme Lord. Everyone is independent to think or desire, but the fulfillment of one's desire depends on Supreme Will. Like we say, man proposes, God disposes. In the days of yore, when the living God and Vasus performed yajna, Uddhava, as one of the Vasus, desired to enter into association of the Lord, which is very difficult for the jnanis and karmis, because such people have no information about becoming an associate of the Lord. Only the pure devotees can know that by the mercy of the Lord, that the personal association of the Lord is the highest perfection of life. The Lord assured Uddhava that he would fulfill his desire. It appears that when the Lord informed him by his indication to Uddhava, then the great sage Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. See? Here, a very important point is said here. Although there are many living entities in this world, very few living entities desire only the Lord. Most of them desire Lord's gifts, gifts from the Lord. Like for example, you go to somebody's home, you know, you see a costly shoe stand outside with very costly shoes. One shoe is 5,000, 10,000 rupee shoes. You see some very costly car standing outside. And then you are made to sit in a sofa and you find on the table there is a golden pen, a very costly pen. So sometimes when you go to a rich man's house, we become attracted to the riches of the person and our attention on those riches is far more than the person himself. Correct, no? Then that type of fascination is there, then you forget to recognize the greatness of the individual. Correct, no? Similarly, Krishna is great and his gifts are also great. So most of the people approach Krishna for the gifts only, other than that. So one shloka I'll show you. Madhiste Vimalorjita. This is the word Muchukunda, Lord told. This 10th canto. Let's repeat this verse. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha. Krishna is speaking to Muchukunda. Sarvabhauma Maharaja. Matiste Vimalorjita. Varai Pralobitasyapi. Na Kamair Vihata Yataha. See, Lord is telling, oh, Sarvabhauma, king of the whole world, oh Maharajan, Matiste, your mind, Vimalorjita, is completely cleaned. It's completely pure. Read the translation.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Emperor.
Supreme Lord said.
The Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires.
The Lord is even amazed. Pralobito varairyatvam apramadaya vidhitat nadhire kanta bhaktanam ashir bir vidyate kvachit.
Understand that I enticed you with benedictions. I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings.
So I gave you many praloban, many enticements or allurements, but you did not choose them. You chose to, accept me only. Yunjananam abhaktanam pranayamadhi birmanah akshinam vasanam akshina vasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitham.
The minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices are pranayam, as pranayam are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds.
That means the yogi devotees, they may do pranayama, asana, pratyahara, all these things to control their senses artificially without developing bhakti for the Lord. Because there is no bhakti in their hearts, or maybe little bhakti is there, but their artificial repression of the senses doesn't help, he's telling. Because drishyate punaruttitam, that was seen in the case of Sobarimuni, no? He artificially suppressed his senses and went underwater, but then the metal disease cropped up again. Therefore, the Lord is saying like this. Whereas, as far as you are concerned, Muchukunda, you are not at all attracted to any material disease. Although I gave you many allurements, neither the Lord is telling. Very, very beautiful. Māmāṁ pralobha yotpatyā. So this Prahlad is saying, Shri Prahlad uvāca. Māmāṁ pralobha yotpatyā. Saktam kāmeshu tairvaraihi. Tatsanga bhito nirvinno. Mumukshastvām upāshritaḥ. See what Prahlad is telling to Lord Narasimha.
Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet.
He is telling, demoniac blood is flowing in my body. If you tempt me with Maya's allurements, then I'll fall down because already I have temptation. So I only want your bhakti. So don't tempt me, like that Prahlad is saying. It's very, very beautiful prayers of Prahlad. Āśāsāno na vaibhrityah. Swaminyashisha Atmanah Na Swami Brityata Swamyam Ichchanjo Ratichashishah.
A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master.
So, what is your relationship with your superior? Check. whether you are a pure servant or an impure servant. You have an opportunity to check. Like if I am praising my superior, or flattering them, or pamper them to get something done, that is an impure servant. Correct, no? And similarly, if a superior thinks that I will keep my subordinate with me so that he will not go away to somebody else, so I will pamper him and keep him under me. So he is an impure master. So the demigods and their devotees are considered as impure masters and servants. Like for example, Shiva is giving a benediction to break the head of anybody whom Bhasmasura touches. Correct, no? Such benedictions are dangerous to give, correct? First of all, Shiva gives and he himself lands up in trouble. He has to run away for life. Similarly, Brahma is giving a benediction to Hiranyakashipu beyond his jurisdiction. He is almost giving him immortality, for which he was little bit taunted by Lord Narasimha later, when Lord Narasimha appeared. Because Brahma thought, this fellow has done so much penance for me, if I don't give some very big result, then he will think that I am not a great demigod. Correct, no? What will happen to my prestige? Like sometimes our devotees go for this thing, you know, donation collection. When you collect donation from one person, say he gives 20,000 for Janmashtami, for example. When you go to another businessman, who is his brother or some connection, first thing, what he will ask you? Usne kitna diya? He will ask. If you say, acha, 20 diya kya? Thika, tum 22 le lo. He'll give 2,000 extra. Because they think, I have to match what he has given. Otherwise, you know, people will think, you know, yeah. Praharad, yeah. No, we have to see the Sanskrit division of the word. Why the word Praharad is written. The combination, actually we call it as Prahalada only. In English, when you see, translation Prabhupada writes Prahalada only. Halada. But here it's written Praharada all through. I also saw it, yeah. You can ask some Sanskrit teacher, our Kanha Krishna Prabhu is here, you can ask him. He may be able to tell you. I also noticed it, yeah. So, to keep one's prestige, the demigods give benedictions. That is the point. In fact, the Brahmaji tells Hiranyakashipu, Darshanam, Nafala Mama, don't worry. You are taking darshan of a four-headed demigod, remember. I am not an ordinary person. You did big penance for me and I will also give you a big result. Please have faith in me that I am capable of giving you. Don't underestimate me. So this kind of insecurity is there in demigods. And we also, because demigods have it, in our conditional stage, we can also have it. So, like for example, you are a counselor, you have some counselees under you. Your counselee is becoming little attracted to another counselor. For example, Prabhuji, I heard that devotee's lecture. My heart became touched, you know, he says. Then you ask, what about my lecture? You are not touched by my lecture? Kitna baar sunaya tumko maine? Bita bita kar sunaya? You are not hearing me, therefore your heart is not touched. Abhi bite kar sunao, tumko pata chalega. You know? So when the counselor's heart is touched, this fellow's heart is breaking. So this is due to what? This is due to insecurity. Insecurity. This is basically demigod mentality. Darshanam na phalam mama. Mera darshan vyartha nahi jayega. Chinta mat karo. You know, I am here, don't fear. You know, that kind of. So one considers oneself the protector. Prabhupada is saying, how you can be a friend of all living entity? Maybe you can be a friend of your wife and children, at the most. But can you be friend of African jungle elephant? Can you provide him 5 tons of food sitting here? So, therefore, Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutana. He can provide to ants, mosquitoes, amoebas, elephants, everybody. When Krishna says, I am friend of everybody, he's a true friend because he is a super soul asking the elephant, did you get your quota today? Come, I'll take you to the forest and he provides grass. Can we do that? So we can't be friend of everybody. Therefore, we don't have to keep everybody in our custody. It's not possible also. So, such a master who is too insecure is called as an impure master. And a servant who has a flattering nature, flattering the superior to be in the good books of the superior, or flattering the superior. Sometimes some people go and give gifts to the superior. Why they give gifts? Baad mein kaam mein aayega. When I want something to be granted, he will grant permission for it. So going and giving gifts, or going and speaking some words, flattering words. So he's an impure servant, because he has very, his motivations are impure. And who is a pure servant? That he says also, actually, like the Lord is a pure master, his pure devotee is a pure servant. Because the commodity transacted between Lord and the devotee is pure love, nothing else. That is the only thing. It's very beautiful. In this way, Prahlad is telling very many nice verses. Aham tvakamas tvadbhaktas tvam chaswamyana pashrayaha nanyateha vayorartho rajasevaka yoriva.
O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship.
Yadidasyasi me kaman varamstvam varadarshabah kamanam hridya sambroham bhavatastu vrine varam.
O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires.
Because Narasimhadeva was insisting, no, Prahlad, you have to ask for some benediction. You have done so much nice devotion service to me. Then he said like this, if you really insist that I have to ask, okay, now I will ask for a benediction. What is it? Destroy the material desires in my heart. Like that he said. So in this way you can see the Shuddha Bhakti prayers. So I showed you two sections. One about Prahlad, one of Muchukunda. How both of them had a very pure heart. Therefore the Lord loves his devotees. Because the devotees transact with the Lord only with pure love. So Lord becomes attached to the devotees. And the devotees reside in the heart of the Lord always. You heard the story? Once Hanuman, somebody went and told Hanuman that, Hanuman, we are very sorry to inform you that Lord has a diary in which the names of thousands of devotees are there, only your name is missed out somehow. Hanuman started crying. He went to the Lord. My dear Lord, please keep me in your glance. You know, how can you forget me? He started crying. Lord asked, who told you I forgot you? You know, he said, show me this diary. They told me they didn't find my name. So he took the diary and opened, and Lord smiled and said, no, don't search your name in this diary. And then Lord took out another diary from inside, small diary. He gave, and then Hanuman opened the diary. First name was Hanuman. Hanuman asked, kitna diary aapke paas? I thought only one diary you will have. What is this? Another small diary. Lord said, this big diary is the devotees who are always thinking of me. And small diary are the devotees whom I am thinking of. And who is first in the list? Hanuman. Then Hanuman started dancing after that, happily. So, in this way, such pure devotees are remembered by the Lord very fondly. So, Prahlad, Muchukunda, such devotees. And now, by reading these sections, you can understand why the Lord loves those devotees. Because they have no agenda. They have no materialistic motivations. They have pure devotion. They don't simply flatter the Lord or impress the Lord. Nor do they have any independent program to enjoy, like the Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra fellows. All these fellows have their agendas, you see. Therefore we say, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanti, you see. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanti, you see. So, therefore Lord is looking at Uddhava. Although Uddhava is not making any show, Lord is lovingly speaking to him. And Maitreya, but Maitreya seems to be very attached to Lord now. And actually, why Maitreya is attached to Lord? Because he wants to cut down the upside down tree and get liberated from this world. What is that upside down tree? Of material existence. See, these jnani people know very well that one easiest way to cut down the material bondage is to develop attachment to the form of Lord. So they know this theoretically. Therefore they behave like this. You can see his behavior of Maitreya. He is pleasingly seeing the Lord and bowing. That's what he was also showing, no? What is his name? That Ramdas Vishwas. Correct, no? He was carrying the bag of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and chanting Ram Nam and very, very humble looking. They try to externally be humble, but actually in their heart they don't have faith in the personality of Godhead. They think God is ultimately impersonal, you see. So, or they think Krishna's body is in Sattva-guna. They think like that. They don't know that Lord's body is Chinmaya. So, in this way Prabhupada says, Lord assured Uddhava that he would fulfill his desire. It appears that when the Lord informed him by his indication to Uddhava, the great sage Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. See, those devotees who desire to enter into Lord's association, they are the purest devotees. Muchukunda desired, therefore he got association of Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj desired, he entered into Lord's association. And Lord, similarly Sutama, florist also, desires to just serve the Lord. And then there are other mixed devotees who don't desire to associate with the Lord, but who desire, you know, Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi, Jnani and all that. They are a lower class. Come to the 12th verse, see. You read that translation. So Lord is giving blessing to Uddhava. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this material world, you see. And your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you. So, Lord is about to leave for his abode, but he is giving his personal association to Uddhava in that lonely forest, sitting with him peacefully, giving him amazing upadesh, Uddhava Gita, almost 24 chapters. And he is telling knowledge about everything. See, the beauty of Uddhava Gita is, Uddhava Gita is far more exhaustive than Bhagavad Gita. And in Uddhava Gita, bhakti is more elaborately given. Bhagavad Gita, there is some hint, but Uddhava Gita is very elaborate, very nicely. So, Lord is telling Uddhava that for all the devotion service you did, now I am reciprocating with you and spending time with you. Come to the... Yeah. 16th verse. Okay, you can read the translations. 13.
O Uddhav, in the lotus millennium in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam.
Next one.
Uddhav said, O Vidur, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by Him with great affection, my words failed in tears and the hairs on my body erupted. After smearing my tears, I, with folded hands, spoke like this. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. But, O great one, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet.
We will recite that 16th verse. Karmanjanihasya bhavo bhavasyate. Durgashrayo thari bhayat palayanam. Kalatmano yat pramadayutashramah. Swatman rate khidyati dhir vidamiha.
My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires, that you take birth, although you are unborn, that you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, and that you enjoy householder life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself.
So I have given the theme. Read the theme.
how to resolve contradictions and bewildering pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah. Here some of the bewildering pastimes of Krishna are given. See, anihasya means one who has no desire. And you are also never born. You are always aja, unborn. But then he is telling some of the contradictions. Although you are free from desires, you take birth in this world, although you are unborn. Ajasya akartur, he says in Kunti also, you are always actually never born, but you are also born in this world. You are unborn. And you are also fleeing out of fear of your enemy, Jarasandha or Kalayavana. And then you are taking shelter in the Dwarka fort. And you are leaving Mathura and going to Gokulam, asking your father to carry you out of fear of Kamsa. Like that he's selling all these things. And also you look like an ordinary householder marrying 16,000 wives and living at home and begetting children and living as a king, looking like a typical householder in this world. Although you are the Supreme Lord who is Atmaram, Aptakam, who is free from all these things, any type of entanglements. So like this many contradictions is presenting and Prabhupada is clarifying them in the purport. If you see, Prabhupada says in the third line, whatever little knowledge devotees have about the Lord is sufficient for them, because devotees are simply satisfied in hearing and chanting about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This gives them all transcendental bliss. But some of the pastimes of the Lord appear contradictory, even to such pure devotees. And thus Uddhava asked the Lord about some of the contradictory incidents in his pastimes. Like Lord has nothing to do personally. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Because even in the creation sustenance of the material world, Lord has nothing to do. He is detached. But it seems contradictory to hear that Lord is lifting Govardhan Hill for protecting his unalloyed devotees. So Uddhava had doubts whether he could have so many transcendental activities. So this is the first thing he is saying. What is it? See, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate means the Upanishads say that the Lord is detached from all these activities of the world. And he is Atmaram always. He is always situated in bliss. But why is such a Lord enters into the universe as if he has interest? Why does he lift the Govardhan Hill and call everybody underneath and gives them a shade? It seems that Lord is taking interest in this world. See, this is a very elaborate discussion in Bhagavad Gita 9.4 and 5 also. Whether is the Lord connected to the material world or disconnected from the material world? That is the talk. Materially is disconnected. Spiritually is strongly connected. So, Lord doesn't want to do any material activity. He is detached. But then when pure devotees come in this world, Lord wants to go and see them. So he comes in the midst of them and lifts the Govardhan Hill. Therefore you can understand. And read the second para, next one.
There is no difference between the personality of Godhead and the impersonal Brahman. How then can the Lord have so many things to do, whereas the impersonal Brahman is stated to have nothing to do either materially or spiritually? If the Lord is ever unborn, how then is He born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki? He is fearful even to Kala, the supreme fear. And yet the Lord is afraid of fighting Jarasandha and takes shelter in a fort. How can one who is full in himself take pleasure in the association of many women? How can he take wives and, just like a householder, take pleasure in the association of family members?
When Jarasandha came, the Lord moved all the Mathura people to Dwaraka. And in Dwaraka, in the ocean, he made a fort. So, and all the people were transported overnight from Mathura to Dwaraka. So that's what he is talking in this. You know, when the way Krishna is doing it, it appears that he is afraid of Jarasandha. Anybody may think like that, no? And also when Jarasandha was eager to fight, that was the same time Rukmini had written the letter. So Krishna thought, which one to do now? Should I attend to Jarasandha or should I go for attending to Rukmini? Then he thought, chalo, that is more important. Otherwise Rukmini will come to in Ambika's temple and nobody will be there to take her, to bring her. So Lord actually left Jarasandha and walked out of the battlefield. And then this fellow was shouting, hey, how are you going? You coward. Krishna doesn't care. You say whatever you want. He's just going away. So Krishna came to be called as Ranachoda. Ranchodrai. Ranchodrai, they call him. So, when devotees see this, devotees have a good laughter and they call Ranchodrai ki. Whereas non-devotees are bewildered completely. How can anybody run away from the battlefield like this? And they are calling him God also. You cannot understand. Like that he is telling. Read the next para, solution.
The solution is that the Lord has nothing to do with anything mundane. All his activities are transcendental. This cannot be understood by the mundane speculators. For the mundane speculators, there is certainly a kind of bewilderment. But for the transcendental devotees, there is nothing astonishing in this.
Okay. So, go to the next one. 17, translation.
O my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time, and there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. Thus, you are sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation as if bewildered, although you are never bewildered. And this act of yours bewilders me.
See, one time when Krishna was sitting in Dwaraka, Narada came and gave a news that Maharaj Yudhishthir has invited you for Rajasu Yajna. Just then Krishna was considering. At that time one messenger came and gave a letter to Krishna. He was from those 28,700 kings arrested in the jail by Jarasandha. No? So they said this king is planning to give us all in Bali, you know. So he has locked us all in the jail. So we want you to come and deliver us. Please save us. So they were all arrested by Jarasandha. So now Krishna was thinking of out of the two, Krishna decided I will go to Rajasu Yajna first. But then the Yadus protested, other Yadus like Pradyumna, Aniruddha. They, as soon as they heard Jarasandha's jail, so many are arrested, they said to Krishna, no, we want to go for fighting a battle. And we will finish off Jarasandha and liberate all those kings. And then we can worry about the Rajasu Yajna, because they were all Kshatriyas, no? For them to go for a yajna was not as attractive as fighting a battle. Because Prabhupada says, no, Kshatriyas are very enthusiastic for a battle. So they were enthusiastic. And Krishna, you see, he knew what is what, but he didn't take the decision on his own hand. So he called for Uddhava. And he asked Uddhava, Uddhava, you are Buddhisattama, you are the most intelligent. Tell me what I should do now. Then Uddhava very carefully analyzed the situation and he told, he looked towards the Yadus and told, see, none of you will be able to defeat Jarasandha. Jarasandha is a very extraordinary Rakshasa. Only one person can kill him. Who is it? Bhima. And that too, Bhima cannot kill him alone. Because Bhima has a raw strength. But the skill to kill Jarasandha has to be supplied by Krishna. So Krishna should go. And then he said, as soon as Bhima goes to fight with Jarasandha, Jarasandha has practically 22 Akshavinis he has. There is nobody at that time who had such a huge number of soldiers in their battle. Jarasandha is extremely powerful. So because he is also powerful and his army is even very powerful, then Uddhava said, there is a way by which Jarasandha has to be approached. And then he suggested, you know, Bhima, Krishna and Arjuna, all of you decorate yourself like Brahmanas. And you should go to Jarasandha and beg for charity, he said. All the Yadus are shocked. Beg for charity? How can Kshatriyas beg for charity? He said, yes, you should beg for charity of fight, he said. Fight? What type of fight? He said, not with the army, but dual fight, one to one. And then he said, the only person who can fight to him is who? Bhima. So Bhima and Jarasandha should fight. And then Krishna should supply the idea on how to kill Jarasandha. This idea was, total idea was given by whom? Uddhava gave the whole map, plan. And then he said, when Jarasandha is finished, then only Rajasu Yajna can be started. Because the horse has to go all around the world and come. And when it goes to Jarasandha, he will tie the horse in his palace. He will not leave it. So Jarasandha has to be defeated. Therefore, Uddhava said, first Jarasandha should be killed. And then Lord can go to Rajasu Yajna after that. Like that he said. So after hearing this advice, everybody in the sabha said, sabash, sabash, well done. So that Uddhava is remembering now. He is asking, you were sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation as if bewildered. Although you are never bewildered, And this act of yours bewilders me, he says. You are never bewildered, but now I am bewildered, he's saying. Huh? Seeing that you are calling such a small people like me for advice, like that he's telling. So, see, this bewilderment of Uddhava is due to his love for Krishna. Huh? So, in love also there can be bewilderment. Huh? This is actually arising due to his ecstasy, great ecstasy. He is, because there is a difference between the bewilderment of non-devotees and bewilderment of pure devotees. The bewilderment of non-devotees arises from suspicion about Krishna. Whether Krishna is, you know, personal or impersonal. Whether, you know, whenever something happens, Krishna, like 4 or 5 instances is giving. Krishna is surrounded by so many queens in Dwaraka, living like a householder. Or Krishna is taken from Mathura to Gokulam, running away. Or Krishna is taking people from Mathura to Dwaraka, putting them in fort and escaping from Jarasandha. You know. So when non-devotees hear this, they develop suspicion. Is really Krishna God? They think like that, non-devotees. When pure devotees hear it, they feel great pain because they know Krishna is God, but the pure devotees are worried that the non-devotees will misunderstand Krishna. Therefore, they feel pain. You understand, no? Because the pure devotees want all the world to understand Krishna's true position. But unfortunately, Krishna behaves in strange ways which makes non-devotees misunderstand. And that causes bewilderment and pain to devotees, pure devotees. You understand, no? Yeah. Like for example, once we were in Vrindavan, some devotees wanted to give their spiritual master a very big foreign car. I don't know the name of the car. The best car I know is only Benz. Beyond Benz, I don't know. But they had a huge aeroplane type of car, long car. So they wanted spiritual master to sit in the car and go to Krishna Balaram temple and come back and stay in the facility. But then their spiritual master said, I will just use ambassador car. And the ambassador was a very old model ambassador car. You have seen, no? Stout car ambassador. So he took simple car and that too, it has got dents in 4 or 5 places. So that is the car he used. So sometimes a disciple has a desire to show to their friends and relatives that my spiritual master is a very great personality. Correct, no? Why? Because I am great, my guru also must be great. So recently, I was in one of the places, they were telling me, Swamiji, if you say you are ready to come for just for one day, now we will arrange a flight ticket to and fro, they said. But I said, no, I prefer, now you can just book me a train ticket. Said, train ticket? You come by train? They were shocked. Huh? You are a busy man, you are president, how do you come by train? I said, I purposely come by train so I can study Bhagavatam. Huh? Because in flight, you will come in Bombay to Pune, you will reach in 20 minutes in flight. But you come in train, Bombay to Pune, 4 hours you can study. Correct, no? So, why they wanted me to come in flight? Because they are big people, they think, you know, they want to tell their relatives that Hamare ek Shiksha Guruji hain, wo flight mein aaye. But if you say, just now our Swamiji came in train, nobody is impressed. So, coming by flight is considered a status symbol. Agreed? Correct, no? So having a very big, costly mobile is considered a status symbol like that. So you will see that actually therefore the Vajabhasis, you will see the Vajabhasis have absolutely no, what do you call it, nothing externally to impress Krishna. Once Radhanaswami was telling about Chaupati temple in those days, if somebody comes with some material expectations, they cannot join full time in Chaupati temple. In those days, because there was only one room for Brahmachari Ashram. And that was divided into multiple, plywoods. And then in each room there were 2 cots, you know. And the cot, if you open the cot, it was a locker. So if somebody comes and lies down on the top, you have to wake him up to open the locker. Can you imagine? That's the way lockers are made. And if somebody is laughing in the next room, you can hear here, because in the top it was open. You understand how it was? Yeah. Plywoods are made only to some height. Huh? It was very, very simple ashram. Very, in those days, in 91 when he used to come, it was utterly simple actually. Huh? It was loft. And then you climb up in the loft, Those fellows, they are running in the lab, sound will come. They are running. Easily your sleep can be disturbed. So, the ashram was very simple, but the devotion was very exalted. Same with Vrindavan also. In Vrindavan, the external appearance of Vrindavan is like a rustic village. Simple girls, simple covered boys, cows, calves. But their devotion to Krishna was so very attractive. Krishna was fascinated by that only. Similarly here, because Uddhava and such devotees have some amount of Aishwarya with the Lord, therefore Lord's playful behavior is little disturbing to their minds. One more person, can you say, who gets disturbed by Lord's playful activities? Who is Vidambaram? Who is getting disturbed? Kunti Maharani. As soon as you heard the word, you can say Vidambaram. Correct, no? Tadatyanta Vidambanam. Why? Because she is also a devotee in reverence. Any devotee in reverential admiration will have problem. You will see, with Lord's playful activities. Like Brahma and Shiva and all, they can only accept Vishnu as God. But when they see Krishna playing playful activities, Brahma gets little bewildered and disturbed. Because he thinks, how can our great Lord behave like this? It's very difficult to accommodate in their head. Therefore, Prabhupada says that Vishnu is more beautiful than Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. Whereas in Vrindavan, Radharani is more beautiful than Krishna. Like that Prabhupada says. You know the reason why? Because in Vaikuntha, because Brahma and Shiva and all want to see Lord as greater than Lakshmi. To satisfy them, Lord keeps himself more beautiful. He says, Lord has to maintain that Aishwarya, otherwise they will get disturbed. Lord has to be looking royal. His walking should be royal, dress should be royal, everything he uses should be very royal class. Then only the devotees can appreciate. If Lord becomes a little simple, they will get confused. But in Vrindavan, it is just the opposite. Any amount of royalty Krishna shows, Yashoda doesn't care at all. You know, because there it is spontaneity. You understand this point? You appreciate this point? So, therefore you see, Uddhava is getting... Prabhupada writes in purport, in the 17th purport, you see, Uddhava was never actually bewildered. But he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. The whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava was meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who was sitting nearby. Because Uddhava actually has already become very, very pure and he has gone to Vrindavan and come back. He knows everything. But now who is bewildered now? Because he is Jnana Mishra fellow. He will be very bewildered by these activities of the Lord. The Lord used to call Uddhava for consultation when the city was attacked by Jarasandha. Basically, Uddhava wanted to tell Maitreya, although Krishna is calling me for consultation, don't think he doesn't know. He is just doing it out of love. Actually, he knows everything. Like that, he wanted to tell whom? Maitreya. But he's not directly telling. Indirectly, he's asking the Lord, my dear Lord, you know, I'm bewildered when you come and consult me. That kind of, like that, he's talking. See, Lord knows the past, present and future. Therefore, his calling for Uddhava to give enlightenment is certainly astonishing. All these actions of the Lord appear to be contradictory, although there is no contradiction in the routine activities of the Lord. And 18th verse.
My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji.
Very important purport, read it.
A pure devotee like Uddhava has no material afflictions because he engages constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A devotee feels afflicted without the association of the Lord.
So there are two types of afflictions. One is a material affliction, suffering birth, old age, disease and death. That material affliction. Another affliction is due to separation from the Lord. So when we become enlightened in Lord's pastimes and all, then that appeases our separation from the Lord. Therefore, Uddhava wanted enlightenment. Uddhava did not want enlightenment to stop the material afflictions, like that he says. Correct, no? Generally, jnanis and non-devotees, in case they approach the Lord, their purpose of approach will be to stop the cycle of birth and death. Whereas when a devotee approaches Lord for enlightenment, he His goal is to, you know, Prabhupada says, I wrote my Krishna book to give solace to devotees, Prabhupada said. So when reading the pastimes of the Lord, the devotees get solace and their pangs of separation are appeased. That's what is the heading. See, read the heading. Theme.
Enlightenment for removing material affliction versus enlightenment for constant remembrance of Lord.
So Uddhava wanted which one?
Second one.
Constant remembrance of the Lord. So our goal of studying Gita Bhagavatam should be to increase our remembrance of the Lord. That should be the goal. And the goal should not be to not get rid of pains. Sometimes a pain in this material world may be necessary to keep us in the ground level practicing devotional service. Otherwise, without pains, we may become complacent. Therefore, Lord may give some pains. So a devotee never prays to Lord, remove my pains. Rather, he prays to Lord for constant remembrance, like that he is saying.
Constant remembrance of the Lord's activities keeps the devotee alive. And therefore, Uddhava requested that the Lord please enlighten him with the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam as previously instructed to Brahmaji.
See the next theme, you read it? Next theme.
Paramam Stitim, the secret that Lord revealed only to Uddhava, not even to Brahma in Chatushloki Bhagavat.
You want to know what is that secret that Lord told Uddhava, not even to Brahma in Chatushloki, that is revealed in the purport. You see, he is saying here, Itya Vedita Hardaya,
Itya Vedita Hardaya,
Mahyam Sabhagavan Paraha,
Adidesharavindaksha
Atmanaha Paramam Sthitim. Translation.
When I thus expressed my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about His transcendental situation.
Purport.
The words Paramam Sthitim are significant in this verse. The Lord's transcendental situation was not even spoken of to Brahma when the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam were explained. This transcendental situation comprises His dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwaraka and Vrindavan. When the Lord explained His specific transcendental situation, it was meant for Uddhava only. And therefore, Uddhava particularly said, Mayam, unto me. Although the great sage Maitreya was also sitting there. Such a transcendental situation is hardly understood by those whose devotion is mixed with speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. The Lord's activities in confidential love are very rarely disclosed to the general devotees who are attracted by devotion mixed with knowledge and mysticism. Such activities are the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord.
Actually, just as in Vrindavan, you will find in Dwaraka also the relationship of the Lord and the devotees is not ordinary. I'll just show you one verse. See, these are the queens of Dwaraka. Mahishya Avuchuhu Kurarivilapasitvam Bhitanidranasheshe Swapiti Jagati Ratriyam Ishvaro Gupta Bodaha Vayamivasaki Kachidada Nirvita Cheta Nalinanayana haso darali lekshitena. See, the queens are saying, oh Kurari bird, you are lamenting. Now it is night and somewhere in this world the Supreme Lord is asleep in a hidden place. But you are wide awake, oh friend, unable to fall asleep. Is it that, like us, you have had your heart pierced by the core, by the lotus-eyed Lord's munificent, playful, smiling glances? So like this, the poor Chakravaki, even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that like us, you have become the servant of Lord Achyuta and you hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland that he has blessed with the touch of his feet? See what they are doing. They are putting themselves in the role of that bird which is singing sweetly, and they are asking the bird, are you suffering like us? But they are expressing their heart like this. So like this they are telling different. See, they are asking this thing. Oh dear ocean, because the ocean is around Dwaraka, no? They are asking the ocean, you are always roaring, not sleeping at night. Are you suffering insomnia? Or is it that as with us, Mukunda has taken your Kaustubha, insignia is the Kaustubha, that you are hopeless of retrieving them, because from the ocean Krishna gets Kaustubha, no? So Krishna has taken a Kaustubha and gone and he has never come to you. This is the way this fellow is. He will promise you and he will never show up. Like that they are offering prayers. So like that there are many. They are talking to Moon. My dear Moon, have you contracted severe tuberculosis? You become so emaciated. So in this way there are many. One conversation I will show you what they are talking. Even we are in 10th canto, we read this very interesting conversation. See here. Chakravarti. The queens are asking, is unconquerable Lord doing well? The swan is replying, how can Lord Krishna be doing well without you, O queens? You are all his beloved consorts. And then they are asking, but does he even remember what he once told one of us, Srimati Rukmani? Does he recall that he said, in all my palaces, I see no other wife as dear as you? Because in 10.60.55, Lord said, Na Twadrishim Pranayinim Grihinim Griheshu Pashyami. I have not seen anybody like you, like that. So he does, and then the swan is telling, he does indeed remember this, and that is why he has sent me here. You should all go to him and engage in his devotional service. And then they are asking, why should we go to worship him if he refuses to come here to be with us? And then swan is telling, but my dear oceans of compassion, he is suffering so much from your absence. How can he be saved from this distress? And the queens are saying, just listen, O servant of a petty master, tell him to come here as he should. If he is suffering from lusty desires, as he only himself to blame, since he himself is the creator of Cupid's power, we self-respecting ladies are not going to yield to his demand that we will seek him out. And then swan is saying, so be it, then I will take my leave. No, 1 minute, dear swan, ask him to come to us here, but without the goddess of fortune, who always cheats us by keeping him all to herself. And then the swan is asking, don't you know that goddess Lakshmi is devoted exclusively to the Lord? How could he give her up like that? They are saying, and she is the only woman in the world who is completely sold out to him. What about us? Are we not sold out? They are asking. So who is this? These are Dwaraka queens. You can imagine, just as we glorify the Vrajabasis and Gopis, similarly the Dwaraka queens are also very exalted in their devotion to Krishna. So this kind of information Krishna told to Uddhava. This is called Paramamstitim. How Dwaraka Vasis love me very much. How Vrajavasis love me. Although Maitreya was sitting, Maitreya could not comprehend it fully. Because one who has a jnana tinge won't be able to understand the subject. Just like sometimes when new boys come, you know, they are always thinking, you know, can I get some ideas to improve my concentration? Can I get some study tips? Can I crack the exams? And then you tell them about Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual world. What can they understand? So they have their agenda, you see. Therefore, to the degree the heart is clean and the heart is receptive to receive such confidential information like Uddhava, only then the Lord can reveal. So therefore, Lord told Uddhava, why Lord is telling him, there is a reason. After the recitation of all this, Lord told Uddhava, see, you should go to Badrikashram. The sages and saints there, they have abundant jnana, but they don't have this confidential knowledge. They don't know about my relationship with my devotees in Dwaraka and Vrindavan. So this knowledge you should reveal to the Badrikashram sages. That will be my instruction to you, the Lord told Uddhava. So, and then Uddhava wanted to go with the Lord and he cried. And the Lord said, no, you have to do this duty for me. It's my order to you. So there Prabhupada writes, the instruction of the spiritual master is as good as the presence of the spiritual master in the life of the devotee. So, very beautiful point Prabhupada makes. Now, we have come to the end of the class. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.